Hello there, and welcome to episode 165 of the FlameFlash.net podcast. My words are my own. Now, you'll probably notice that the sound quality is a little different this time around because I am using home equipment, our single but vocal listener, Keela, appreciated having Nail Fury on, so I thought I would experiment and see how well it turns out if we try recording at home.
Hey.
So there he is. Hi, bud.
Hello.
So with that being said, we might as well launch right into it. I know yesterday was a pretty big blast because we went over to your brother's house and enjoyed some D&D, right?
Yeah.
Was there any highlight of the evening for you, like a big event or a role or just something that happened that really stood out to you during that?
Probably when I was able to convince the big dragon man that we were sent from the big guy.
Oh, they're at the entryway to the cathedral, right?
Yeah.
So then suddenly your group was the one pretending to break in, at which point the half-elf wizard cast Minor Illusion on the door and made it look like you hadn't broken in, right?
Yep, it was just too strong of an illusion.
And from there, because we're playing the Horde of the Dragon Queen, that scenario. It was the first 5th edition published scenario, actually. That and Rise of Tiamat, they're a set. But this, they solve this in a unique way. And it's something I mentioned to you guys last night. Even though I have run this for a different group of people, each time it's solved so differently. Because here this group decides we're going to utilize the ranger and the bow and arrow, and create a zip line from the top of the cathedral out to the shore of the stream behind the cathedral to rescue the individuals that were in the cathedral. Now, unfortunately for a level 1 wizard with 4 hit points left, he kind of failed his athletics check as he was ziplining down and wanted for some reason to be the first one to go. Nail Fury knows where this is ending up.
Yep.
And so he basically pulls a George of the Jungle and doesn't watch out for that tree. And I was being kind. It's like, okay, you failed. Roll a 1d4. He, of course, rolled a 4 on the d4, and that killed his wizard. Well, he had created this wizard on a lark, so the stats weren't that great. A half-orc wizard. Let that sink in. For those of you, Keela, not familiar with D&D, then there's the whole trope of like elves being wizards, or Gandalf, you know, the long beard humans being wizards, not an orc being a wizard. So he put one of his lowest stats as intelligence. That did not bode well. It just didn't. And I think I mentioned that when I was talking about the first session a while back, running the game for everybody, just a -1 on intellect, not a good idea. Just, it's not. Sorry. But he had a backup character ready to go, and he wanted to desperately switch to said backup character because he finally realized how much he'd screwed up.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Going back to the ranger part, I just want to say The Ranger's rolls was crap. The Barbarian took the arrow, the bow and arrow, and did a much better job.
Oh, that's right, isn't it? Yeah. Your Barbarian brother, which is rather fitting, and your Ranger sister, she's playing a fairy, and yeah, she was not very successful with shooting that bow and arrow, really, at all. Everybody leveled to level 2, though, last night, by the end of things. So, hopefully, that level up and the ranged focus is going to help her in the future actually hit the broadside of a barn.
I don't know why, but I have a gut feeling that it will.
I guess we'll wait and see. So, then a human paladin joins the fray into the party. It's one of those, it's such a weird trope. If anybody has watched Voltron, the Netflix series, I think it's going off of Netflix pretty soon, but they do basically a D&D episode. And in that episode, one of the team members dies. And he just, my character's brother, whatever his name is, and it's the exact same character. And then it's the exact same character again when it happens again. And we have that trope in D&D players, and then we have the D&D players that, if they're dissatisfied with their character, they'll do anything to basically kamikaze their character in the session so that they can switch as quickly as possible to a different race and class. This would be what your future brother-in-law did on this this instance. So he was thrilled when his character smacked into that tree, took the 4 hit points of damage, which killed him. He's like, nope, I don't want to do death saving throws. Let me switch. Please let me switch. Now I'm one of the characters that's in the cathedral being rescued. It's like, okay, that's a clean transition. Let's go. Fine. Just fine. Yeah. So there we are. There we went. And he's already adjusting quite well to his new paladin. So that's a good sign. Otherwise, in gaming this last week, the World of Warcraft 20th anniversary event is going on right now. So we're doing our darndest to get enough tokens to get some of these classic armor sets now with higher resolution visuals. The first one's, speaking of paladins, the paladin set, right?
Yeah.
That's our first goal. And for those of you not familiar, Keela, with World of Warcraft, it's just a very iconic set that any World of Warcraft player is going to immediately recognize Paladin Tier 2 armor. It's just, it's iconic to the series. So having an up-res, basically remastered appearance, that's really satisfying. And it's gorgeous. This is also a great opportunity to go and level. So that's pretty neat. They've chosen 5 or 6 classic dungeons and put them in the time walking rotation. Time walking is when we're able to go back and queue for particular dungeons from previous expansions, or in this case, the original game. And it's a blast from the past. It's a really satisfying blast from the past. Otherwise, Helldivers 2 Liberty Day is today on October 26th. I don't think I mentioned the date yet. I'm recording it a day late because I wanted to experiment with this. And I was headed straight to D&D after work. But Liberty Day. Do you know more about Liberty Day, Bud, on Helldivers lore?
I don't really know much about the Helldivers lore. I just mostly go in and kill bugs.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's a satisfying experience too, and that's why Helldivers is so entertaining, is It's basically the Starship Troopers game, the game, but slightly different lore. Humanity is definitely the bad guys. I know that's anti-democratic to say, but we're definitely the bad guys. And it's funny. It's just, it's entertaining. It's entertaining watching the ragdoll broken body of your character spiral off into the distance after being splattered by whatever giant alien creature or robot decides to hunt you on that particular mission.
Yeah.
But they gave a classic Helldivers 1 armor set. Helldivers 1 was a top-down strategy game, unlike Helldivers 2, which is a third-person over-the-shoulder shooter. So it's quite the attitude change. But I think it was a very good choice. Very good choice. To pivot again to like real life and political news, Musk decided to go and, you know, he wanted to join his buddy the felon Trump and commit a felony himself by offering to bribe voters in swing states with $1 million if they would vote for Trump. That's not legal, Musky boy. It's just not. So, good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Unfortunately, aren't authorities not doing anything because he's so rich?
I don't think the rich has anything to do with it. I think the crazy has something to do with it, and they don't really want to waste the resources on the crazy. But I have even seen some surveys floating around to set up to harass the federal government and say, hey, do this, enforce the law. Just because he's supposedly rich and powerful doesn't mean he should be allowed to get away with it. So,
yeah.
So there's a subset out there that agrees with the statement that he's too rich to go after, but there's also a subset out there going, no, he may be rich, but just like Martha Stewart, who got thrown in jail for insider trading, he broke the law and he needs to pay for breaking the law. It was a blatant breaking of the law. No question about it. So it should be an open and shut case. We'll see. We'll just have to wait and see. The election is only a few days away at this point, amazingly enough, like a week. Yeah, a little less than a week, or a little over a week. Beware, beware the 5th of November. I have my Guy Fawkes mask hanging up in my office over here. We'll have to watch V for Vendetta. That's a good movie, bud. So Guy Fawkes and that mask is what the group Anonymous uses, the hacker group Anonymous, if you've heard of them.
I have not.
Okay. Well, the hacker group Anonymous has adopted the Guy Fawkes mask face. But the entire historical setting is this. He was definitely a nut job, conspiracy theorist, anarchist. He wanted to blow up. I'm running out of the right words, but a blow up a government building over in the UK with just a ton of gunpowder, because this was a different era. It was the gunpowder plot. That's what it is referred to over there. And he became a martyr symbol. He was unsuccessful for fighting government corruption. And that's not really what his goal was. His goal was to just literally bring down the government. But others have latched onto his his mask as an icon. There we go. I was looking for a different word, but we'll go with that. And now they run with that as, let's stand up to the government. Let's anonymize ourselves with this mask and stand up to the government. And that's kind of what the V for Vendetta movie goes into, is the government has become too corrupt. We need to stand up to the government, and we need to fight back against the government. And that's one of those things that I'm worried about come November 5th. If, you know, a certain orange one wins, we'll have to do that. It'll be necessary in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's simply, like in Minnesota here, being another bastion of safety for those of the LGBT community, or if it's actually fighting back. I don't know. I do not condone violence in the least, but I'll do pretty much anything if it's to protect my younglings, as you know.
Yeah.
But do you have anything standing out in the last week as far as gaming goes? So that's a not really. I'm putting you on the spot, so sorry about that.
All good.
But we're at the 16-minute mark, so I think this was a good experiment, and we'll run with it and see how it turns out. So thanks for joining me, bud.
Yep.
So with that, we'll close out episode 165 of the FlameFlash.net podcast, and happy Democracy Day from Helldivers 2.
Heck yeah.
So, podcast at flameflash.net if anybody wants to write in, and look forward to hearing from everyone. Have a good night.